rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. It's currently 84 degrees. Heat index is at 88. The winds are out of the northeast at 11 miles an hour with wind gust up to 15 miles an hour. And I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you here later on in the show. Looks like we have a few chances of rain between tomorrow and this coming Thursday morning. So anyway, hopefully one of them hits us. We could use another shower right now. Thing I need to talk to you guys about is that the KCO text line is open, and I have a question for you guys today. And I'll read off on the answer and the story coming up in half past the hour, probably the third segment of the show. But why did the chicken cross the road? Or why do chickens cross the road? Text me in your answer at 580-225-9697, and we'll get to it later on in the show. So anyway, right now let's check out the markets. Let me update them a little bit here, see if, make sure they're all up to around here. They are. Live cattle for June, 133.07. August, 133.40. October, 139.45. December, 145.80. Feeder cattle, August, 172.57. September, 174.90. Lean hogs, June, 109.07. July, 108.75. August, 106.17. All the livestock are down slightly. Hogs are down more than anything, but the livestock are just down just a little bit. Half penny or half dollar, somewhere in there. Cotton's at 138, and sugar is still hanging in there at 19 cents a pound. What I don't like seeing is oil at 118.43. That's not cool. Natural gas now probably the highest it's been since the early 80s or late 70s. It's July. Next month's price is at 9.27. So that's not going to help us with our fertilizer prices at all. None whatsoever. Let's check out the live grain prices, cash prices in Oklahoma, Texas. Hard red winter wheat, 1101. It's up 48 today already. Corn is at 773. Milo is at 729. And soybeans are at 1620. It's up considerably since this morning. Grain markets are sharply higher with the news of wetter weather ahead and the bombing of a major grain export elevator in Ukraine. Grain markets are sharply higher this morning. And the U.S. Globex grain market has corn futures 14 cents higher. Soybean futures are up 19 cents. And wheat futures are trading 42 to 50 cents higher. In the overnight markets, the trading range from July corn is 10 cents. The last trade shows corn up 14 cents at 741. The trading range for July soybeans is 11 cents. The last trade soybeans is up 19 cents to $17.17. Chicago wheat is up 50 cents. Kansas City wheat futures are up 49 cents. And Minneapolis wheat is up 42 cents. Clueless Commodity Advisors predict the initial corn crop rating in today's USDA crop progress report will come in around 70% good to excellent. This would be about down somewhere around 6% from last year, but higher than 2019 when planting was delayed and the agency's first report came in at 59% good to excellent. Customers from Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska are indicating that they have the best yield prospects ever if we get normal winter through the end of the year. Not winter, weather. I'm watching planting numbers today to see how much planting progress was made from last week in North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. It was cool and dry and great weather for planting. Many farmers who were able to get shorter season corn are staying with corn. Others will switch to soybeans rather than going with Privet plant. From May 20th to May 26th, soybean sales dropped 60% from the previous week and were down 77% from the average, according to the USDA. Egypt took 54,000 metric tons. The Netherlands purchased 68,000. Mexico went there for 50,000. Colombia took 29,900 tons. The purchases were offset by decreases as China canceled shipments of 72,200 tons. Italy nixed cargoes of 46,000 tons and 29,000 tons from an unknown destination. For 2022-23 year, sales totaled 284,000 metric tons. Exports for the week fell off 25% to 406,300 tons. Sales of corn for delivery in the 21-22 marketing year totaled 185,800 metric tons. That's up 23% from the previous week, but down 52% from the prior four-week average. Saudi Arabia was the big buyer at 74,800 tons. Japan took 70,000 tons, and Korea took 65,000 tons. China even bought 62,800 tons, and Mexico, coming in there last place, bought 59,300 tons. The total was would have been higher, but unknown destinations canceled a total of 284,900 tons. Sales for delivery in the 22-23 marketing year was reported at 48,000 tons already. Exports were down 13% from the previous week to 1.57 million tons. Last but not least, wheat sales through May 26 were down from the previous week and 98% lower than the prior four-week average. Man, that don't even sound good. Venezuela bought 7,000 metric tons. Philippines was in there for 3,000 tons. Mexico purchased 2,500 tons, and Taiwan bought 2,000 tons. And Italy took 1,500 tons. Cargoes totaling 18,000 tons were canceled, the majority of which was supposed to be shipped to Colombia. Sales for the 22-23 marketing year totaled 363,500 metric tons. Exports for the week were reported at 372,700 tons, and that was up 25%. Well, the first week of June, we'll see the return of colder than normal weathers to the Corn Belt, along with the wetter trends stretching from Nebraska and Kansas eastward into Pennsylvania. Periodic thunderstorm chances are expected Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, with the best chance of severe storms on Tuesday and Thursday. I don't know if anybody was watching that storm up there in Kansas that come in there to Woods County, I think, in Oklahoma. But in Kansas, they had baseball-sized hail last night. Not good. Several thunderstorms are expected to move into parts of northern central high plains and the Great Lakes, as well as the Ohio, Tennessee, lower Mississippi Valley through Tuesday, according to the National Weather Service. Parts of the central southern plains and the middle and lower Mississippi Valley will see a slight risk of excessive rain Tuesday into Wednesday morning. I think that's when it's supposed to affect us. I think we're on the southwestern edge of it, but hopefully they creep down just a little bit so we can get another rain shower. The heavy rain expected with these storms will create localized areas of flash flooding, affecting areas that experience rapid runoff with heavy rain. Flood warnings have already been issued in Kansas. So there's your update from being on the week there. Again, my question for you guys is, why does the chicken cross the road, or how does the chickens cross the road? Why do they cross the road? Anyway, 580-225-9697 is the text line. So if you got an answer for me, don't be bashful. Coming up here after the break, I got the summaries from Texas and Oklahoma, weekly livestock auction, and just a friendly reminder with all the inflation going on and thieving has picked up. The bad stuff has picked up around our area and into the eastern Texas panhandle. So please secure your equipment. Keep an eye out on your cattle. Keep a count on them. Make sure water gaps are in so they don't sneak off and you don't get them back. But anyway, just keep an eye on your stuff. The thieving has picked up, especially the fuel. And the fuel is not getting no cheaper. I hate to say it. It's not getting any cheaper. So keep an eye out on things out there. I'll be back right after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I farm and ranch for a living. That's all I do. So I've got property and equipment, irrigation systems, my house, my barns, and Mickey has everything now. I decided one day to call him, and I actually was having lunch with a friend, and he had his number, and we actually rang him up at lunch, and he was at my barn at my office that evening. Sat down, I showed him my deck sheets. He took them and was back in touch with me within 2 days or less with everything, and I pulled the trigger. He come back to the office, was signed all the papers and wrote him a check. I've never actually been to his office. I think it's in Mangum, but I couldn't get there right now without looking it up. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
We strive in our cow herd for high-efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. We try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered, and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I got some great listeners today. I haven't got any texts on the text line that can't be read on the air yet. So anyway, it's all good. Coming up next segment, we'll go over, I got a couple things to go over about why the chicken crosses the road and should you or should you not wash your eggs if you raise chickens for laying eggs. So anyway, we got that coming up. Currently 84 degrees, heat index is 88, and the winds are out of the northeast at 10 miles an hour. That's crazy. We got a heat index with northeast winds. Usually it's the cool wind, but anyway, gets the humidity 60%, and I bet there's some farmers cutting some hay today. Some alfalfa drove around this morning coming to work, and there's some alfalfa that needs cut down, but I know the rains got them gun shy. But anyway, when it's ready to cut, you got to cut her. 28 days on most of it. The Roundup Ready, you can actually go less. So anyway, we'll get that going. All right, onward with the show. Here's some summaries from livestock barns in Texas and Oklahoma. In Texas, there was 4,445 heads sold through the sale barns last week. 70% of them were feeder cattle, 26% of those was slaughter cattle, and replacement cattle was at 3.6%. Let's look at some of these steers sold in Texas last week. Let's go with some 357 pounders. They were anywhere from 202.50 to 214 per hundredweight. Here's some 429s that brought up to $1.98. Some 456s brought up to $1.92. 500 pounders. Here's a big bunch. 536 pound average brought up $1.85. 177.15 was their average. And here's some 535s unwinged, about $1.76. Let's get on down here to the 600 pound range. Big bunch right here. 626, 162, 700 pounders. Big bunch right here. 74 head brought 159. Some 800 pounders brought $1.44. Some fancy 708 brought $1.60. And then we got some 900 pounders that brought $1.41. And 1,000 pounders brought $136 per hundredweight. Oklahoma, compared to last week, all classes lightly tested. As of all Monday sales and some Tuesday sales were closed because of Memorial Day holiday. Heavy rains across the state once again contributed to lighter numbers as well. Feeder steers sold $2 to $6 higher. Feeder heifers steady to $4 higher. Demand was moderate to good for feeder cattle as feeder futures made gains this week. Steer calves traded mostly steady. Heifer calves sold steady to $4 higher. Wheat harvest trying to get underway, but rains have stalled that progress. Slaughtered cows were $1 to $2 higher, except lean cows, and they were down $2. Slaughtered bulls sold $4 lower. Packer demand moderate. Supply included 90% feeder cattle, 8% slaughter cattle, and 2% replacement cattle. Any feeder cattle, most of the supply was over 600 pounds with 80%. 12,000, wow, it is way down. 12,647 head sold through the sale barns in Oklahoma last week compared to 25,000 last week or the week before, but it's still above what it was last year, and there was 10,378 head sold this time last year. All right, let's check out what some of these steers brought. Here is some 328 pounders up to average price was $202.58. So there's a big bunch that was thin flesh, 381 pound average brought $213. 423 average weight, 205. 196 was the average on them. 205 was the high end. Here's some big bunch, 68 head that weighed 479, average 181.80. Some of them brought up to $1.91. 500 pound range, let's check it out. Well, they're pretty much all the same here. 528, 571 average weights were bringing up to $1.85. 600s were bringing up to $1.77. And then a heavier six weight, 662, $1.67. Seven weights, looks like any of the seven weights was bringing anywhere from 155 to 167 was top end. 800 weights, 152 was the average on some 821 weights. 900 weights, bringing up to $1.50, 146.33 was the average. And then we got some 962s that averaged 143.76. And some 1,000 pounders, huge bunch, 320 head, averaged 1,000 pounds, brought, averaged 137.51. So there is your market from the livestock auctions that reported. Western Oklahoma livestock auction is going on right now. I'll have your updates from it in Elk City tomorrow. Hopefully by the end of the show, I'll have what Hollis had this past Saturday down in Hollis, Oklahoma, in Harmon County. Tomorrow, Woodward will be having their weekly cow and bull sale, and I'll keep you updated to that. And then coming Wednesday, the Hobart Stockyards in Hobart, Oklahoma. If you got any cattle you need to sell, give Mr. Rex Fleming a call, or if you got anybody. They've done a wonderful job. If you guys are on Facebook, these sale barns are getting better and better and better all the time. But they've done a wonderful job at Hobart for sure of updating their Facebook page. They actually show cattle that are going to be sold prior to the sale periodically, maybe on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. They might have some roping steers coming in or some nice bred cattle. They've been doing a good job. Elk City and Western Oklahoma are doing the same thing. And so anyway, if you guys want to see maybe what's coming in at Hobart, if they got videos or pictures, you can see what's going to be for sale down there. So keep an eye on that. Later, as a matter of fact, I'll just do it now. If I can... I tried to print this out earlier, and it didn't work out very well for me. So Hobart Stockyards had their sheep and goat sale down there Saturday, and I'm not sure how many head he had. Usually I know how many head they have, but looks like quite a bit. But on the sheep side, it looks like the 75 average weight on some of the ewes was 83. We're bringing $240. That was high end. Average 32 for a ewe. The 100 pound weights, 100 to 124, was bringing up to 200. And then let's go on down here to the hares. 100 to 124, 220. The 75 pounders were bringing $315 a piece. Looked like sale was great. On the rams, 75 pounders were bringing 160. The 75 to 149 pounders with average weight 83 brought 220. And then on the on the hares, on the rams, 75 to 149 was bringing 105. The 75 pounders were bringing 150. Let's get on down here to the goats. The nannies. 75 pounders were bringing, this is why I needed to print this off, I'm trying to read it off my phone. 75 pounders were bringing 140. 75 pounders, oh, that's the wrong thing. All right, here we go. 75 pounders, average weight on them, on the nanny goats, were bringing 180. Billy goats, here we go. We'll go over with the billy goats. I can figure that out pretty quick. Up to 75 pounders. You have to excuse me. This is very 185, 75 to 149s. We're bringing 110 and 150 and over. We're bringing up to 200. And that was on the billy goats. On the kid goats, we got up to 75 pounders. We're bringing 205. 75 to 190 or 149 was bringing 325, and anything over 150 on the kid goats was bringing over 300. Average price was 335. So it looked like they had a great sale down there, the sheep and goat sale. So we'll sorry about the misreading there, but that's very fine print. My printer wouldn't print it off from this computer, so we got it going on. Anyway, when we get back, we're going to talk about chickens for just a few minutes before we go on to some more cattle. Sounds like if you're not going to answer me on the text line on the why the chickens cross the road, why do chickens cross the road? If you're out there planting cotton, let me know how your cotton planting's going. Talk to Spencer. They're over halfway done, and they're going to start firing back up planting again today. So cotton planting is in full progress. I think everybody that was getting peanuts in is already done because there's a lot of peanuts up right now. If they didn't get wind burned that one day here last week and when I seen all the sand blowing. But anyway, farming is in full progress right now, and lots of people are AIing, getting ready for their spring crop coming up next February, March. AIing right now, you gotta be born in March. So anyway, lots going on right now in the agriculture industry. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 27th. 1,069 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 281 brought 204. 5 at 492 brought 178.50. 3 at 568 brought 176. 8 at 621 brought 171.50. 10 at 729 brought 152. 5 head of heifers at 379 brought 170. 4 at 465 brought 164. 6 at 527 brought 159. 5 at 627 brought 153.50. 5 at 766 brought 137. Butcher cows were 7 to 86. Butcher bulls brought 67 to 114. Bred cows were 775 to 1125. Pairs brought 725 to 1400. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
-85 degrees, heat index is still at 88, the winds are still out of the northeast at 12 now, gusts up to 17 miles an hour. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you coming up shortly. Well, let's go to the text line. One person said the chicken crosses the road chasing grasshoppers for lunch. Okay. Three or four people text in to get to the other side of the road, and some of the other ones I can't read on air. So we'll get back. We won't get back to those later. But anyway, here's the deal. Where did it go? Okay. So the story is, I drive a rural road every day to work, just like me. I pass by a small farm with free-ranging chickens, and quite often at least one of the birds is right on the edge of the road. And on my way to work, I end up getting on I-40 to come from Sarah over here most of the time, and there's guineas out there just as you get to Elk City exit coming from Sarah going east. There's guineas always out there by the I-40, and I just keep waiting to go by there and see feathers and blood and guts everywhere over the I-40, but I've failed not to do that. But they're always right on the edge of the road, and myself, I'd feel really bad if I hit one or caused an accident by swerving it to avoid it. Promise you, the only thing that I'm going to cause an accident for swerving is a quail. Turkeys, deer, chickens, guineas, you're at high risk in front of my truck. I'm going to tell you that right now. So why do chickens cross the road? Well, David Frame is an extension poultry specialist at Utah State University. He said it's actually the gravel on and along the roadside that chickens are drawn to. They like to pick at pebbles in the gravel that help with digestion and also dust themselves in it. Make sure you have a place for them to dust and pick around in the gravel. Make sure you provide them with everything that's designated place away from the road so they'll have a less of a tendency to want to go out there. How far your chickens wander also depends on the breed and how ductile they are. Some are more likely to stick around the coop other than others, but Frame says the hands-down fencing is the best way to keep chickens away from the rope. Good luck with that. Anyway, it could be just as easy as chain link fence. This will also keep most chickens in a 4 foot high as a minimum. I would recommend on busy roadways where your chickens are close to the roadways, or you can go up to a 6 foot chain link fence. That's too much fencing for me anyway, for a chicken. I'm sorry, I'm not gonna do that. And Frame says electric fencing can be used as a temporary option, and it also works well in deterring raccoons and other predators. Around the chicken coop, he recommends pinning them in with 0.5-inch, half-inch galvanized hard wire cloth. Locate the coop as far as away from the road as you can and condition the birds to stay close to it. If they know there's where the shelter is and the food and the water, they might not tender to wander. But anyway, so there's your one of your chicken tips of the week. Okay, another question on chickens. I get a lot of requests and talking about chickens and laying hens and all this other stuff. So once a week or once every couple of weeks, I'm going to start doing that. You guys were probably all sitting there, I gotta listen to Jimmy probably, because he's probably got a great story or something silly about why the chickens crossed the road. But I didn't, did I? I was professional today. Anyway, here's the question: should you wash eggs or not? Listen very carefully here. The United States is one of only a handful of countries in the world that gets a little squeamish when chicken eggs are stored on the kitchen counter instead of the fridge. Lisa Steele's family has been raising chickens for 5 generations. She has a popular blog and Facebook page to share poultry tips. A question she often gets or asks is if eggs should be washed after being collected from the hen house. The short answer is no. Eggs are laid with natural coating on the shell called the bloom. This coating is the first line of defense in keeping air and bacteria out of the egg. Eggshells are porous, so when you wash them, you're removing that natural barrier. Unwashed eggs can sit on your kitchen counter at room temperature for a couple weeks, and they're still very edible. But once they're touched with water, they need to be refrigerated. Store-bought eggs have been cleaned, so they need to go in the fridge. If you plan to sell your eggs, Steele says your state will dictate whether they should be washed or not. I don't know about Oklahoma or Texas. If anybody knows if that's being dictated in Oklahoma or Texas, text it in to me. Let me know what you know about it. I honestly don't know. Each state has different laws about handling the eggs, how they to be stored, whether or not they have to be washed. Like in Virginia, for example, if you're going to be selling them, you have to leave them unwashed. Other states, you have to wash them. You have to use a certain solution also. When Steele washes her eggs, she rinses them under warm running water. You want the water to be warmer than the egg so it doesn't suck the bacteria in. You want to do it under running water. You don't want to put them in a bowl of water and then start washing them. It should be running water so they're not sitting in dirty water. Then just let them dry and refrigerate them. Personally, I don't wash my eggs until just before we eat them. Clean nesting boxes will go a long ways in keeping the eggs clean also. Check them every morning and change out the bedding every couple of days or so. So there's your Jimmy tip of the week for eggs. If you want to, anyway, quite interesting. Well, when I come back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you, and we're going to talk a little bit about McCool. That's a deal with the label origin from the country be on your meat that you buy at the grocery store. If you buy local and get it processed locally, you don't have to worry about that. But anyway, we'll come back. We're going to talk just a little bit about that. And there's a major processing plant that a rancher is actually putting in, and up there in Dakota, coming up, starting next year, they're going to build it, and it's going to be bigger, handle more beef than any of the big four here. So that's we'll talk a little bit about that. We always talk about the processing, the big four, and I don't know where this is all going, because our cattle market is getting less and less all the time, because everybody's, you know, selling and culling a lot of cattle because of the droughts in the whole western part of the United States. So our mamas, we got less mamas now than we ever have. So anyway, we'll talk about that when we get back. Thank you for all your input on this one, the chicken crossed the road. I know you was disappointed in my answer because you was waiting for a Jimmy Clark answer, wasn't you? Anyway, I'm professional today, so you guys just bear with me. Anyways, Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. HiPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local HiPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, May the 31st. We sold 547 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, June the 2nd, we sold 1,830 kids and feeders for a total of 2,377 cattle for the week. Lower receipts because of the rain, but very thankful for the rain. Tuesday, better killing cows, 82 to 91 and a half. Then cows bring 30 up to 80 and a half. Bulls bring 75 to 109. 2 to 4 year old pairs, 1,500 with their 9 and older pairs, 1,275. Honor steer cattle, 6 steers weighing 399, bring 201. 5 to 550, 177 to 179. 6 to 650, 163 to 172. 7 to 750, 150 up to 159. 8 to 850, 147 a quarter to 155. 9 to 950, 146 and a quarter to 148, with 1,050 pound steers, 134 and a half to 134.75. Honor heifers, 350 to 4 weights, 166 to 176. 450 to 5 weights, 167 to 169. 5 to 550, 154 up to 164. 6 to 650, 154 to 157 and a half. 7 to 750, 140 to 149.50, with their 8 to 850 heifers, 130 up to 140. 9 to 950, 126 to 135, and 25 heifers win 1,004, bring 110.50. For this Tuesday, June the 7th, we will have the best selection of bred cows and pairs we've had in a long time. 3 loads of these come out of the dry country. 50 of those are red and red mottled face, 3 to 5 year old fall calving cows. 40 pair that are blacks and red, they're 5 and 6 years old. We got 40 pair that are 7 and 8 year old, they're black pairs. Plus, we got on another deal, 40 bred cows and pairs, they're red Angus. That are 4 to 7 years old, and another 70 bred cows that are red Angus that are 8 years old. 20 pair that are 2 year old. By far the best selection of bred cows and pairs we've had in a long time. Give us a call. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks, Kim, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here we go. Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast is 85 degrees, heat index at 89, east-northeast winds now at 14 miles an hour with wind gust up 20, humidity's dropping, 59% now. Still pretty humid out there. Today, mostly sunny, 87 for a high. I think we're going to hit that pretty easily. Tonight, 68 degrees. Tomorrow, 20% chance of thunderstorms, 86. Tomorrow night, 30% chance of thunderstorms. Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Wednesday evening, 20% chance of thunderstorms. Thursday, mostly cloudy, 88. Friday, mostly sunny and 93. Looks like it's going to start warming up. So that's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. This is a touchy subject, especially on social media. Everybody, there's lots of experts out there in this field. But international trade is especially prickly issue for beef industry, especially right now. The various strands often get twisted together and can be difficult to unravel. That's best illustrated by email that he received, Naval Spear, from a reader responding to his recent column. The response was, "We are a fourth-generation ranching family from central Montana, and we strongly support COOL, and that's COOL. We have sent attachments of the recent surge in cheap beef imports. We believe your figures are low in regards to total beef imports. I don't think that you take into account all the beef that comes in as live cattle. Canada has many slaughter cattle and fed cattle that hits our market, and the packers use these cattle to work our prices down." Well, here's Mr. Spears' response. So let's sort through some of this. The Montana rancher shared with me recent summary data from the ERS. His data was correct. Beef imports in the first quarter of 2022 totaled nearly 985 million pounds, compared to just 696 million pounds in 2021. That represents a whopping 42% increase year over year. However, the comparison is somewhat misleading. Food service trade was shut down by COVID. Initial job losses represented nearly one-third of the country's total unemployment shock. Restaurant closures meant plunging demand for ground beef more below. So beef imports lagged during the last quarter of 20 and the first quarter of 2021. Therefore, the year-over-year difference is a COVID-driven bad deal. You guys all know what happened with all the COVID crap. Now, let's unwind this more broadly, addressing both imports and exports while also considering the tonnage and value. The two graphs that follow outline annual trade balance, exports versus imports, both perspectives, quality and value, there are several items of importance. First, your tonnage. The cumulative difference between imports and exports during the past 6 years is only 750 million pounds. That's just an extra 125 million pounds per year in net beef supply. Vastly different from what's often portrayed. Note, two, COOL failed to slow down the, when it was in, back not too long ago, they had the COOL was in place and it failed to slow down the beef imports. Lastly, import volume has been relatively steady the past 20 years versus beef exports, which have consistently grown and established a new record in 2021 at nearly 3.45 billion pounds. Secondly, and most important, is the value. Beef export value outpaced imports by nearly $1.75 billion a year during the past 6 years. Following BSE, it wasn't until 2009 that the beef industry's trade balance returned to a positive territory. However, since that time, all the work that has gone into establishing international markets has paid great dividends. None of this, though, really addresses the precision of trade. Dr. Daryl Peel from Oklahoma State University states it the best. Although global beef trade is summarized in terms of total quantities, it's important to recognize that the beef consist of many different products, and most beef exports and imports are specific products moving between specific destinations for specific uses. Trade in beef products help balance both the overall quality of beef and the preferred mix of beef products in various markets. Beef trade adds value from both exporters and importers and increases the total value of the global beef industry. It's the preferred mix that really matters. For example, a vast majority of cheap beef imports are comprised of lean trimmings that are blended with a 50-50 trim to make ground beef. Without these lean trimmings, much of the fed market's domestic trim would have little value. It's a true story right there. We gotta have some stuff to mix in for fat for a hamburger. The United States cattlemen cannot produce enough fat to make hamburger meat because Americans like their hamburger meat with fat in it. They don't like pure hamburger meat. Precision is the driver. Imports and exports create value and provide opportunity for all trading partners, therefore underpinning the very reason international trade exists in the first place. But all aside, what's most important is the overreaching principle of free market and the fact that international trade is about economic freedom. And there you have it. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you want your stuff labeled at the store, whether where it come from? Because they'll get around it. They'll bring live cattle in here. That's probably how they're doing it anyway. They bring live cattle in here from Brazil or wherever, Australia, wherever. They feed them here. Then they butcher them here. Then they can say they're from the United States. I mean, there's just no end to it. But anyway, how many of you guys actually look at your meat when you go to the market and see where it come from? Do you actually do that? So anyway, that's the question that you guys got to answer yourself. Me, I raise it right here. We butcher it right here, and we get her done right here. How's that? Let's see here. Fifth generation cattle rancher aims to build the biggest U.S. beef plant ever. A fifth generation cattle rancher and consultant plans to build the country's largest beef plant in South Dakota with a capacity to slaughter 8,000 head of cattle a day. The $1.1 billion project could help address the Biden administration concerns over rising food prices and the lack of competition in the meat sector, though it would not be up and running until at least 2026. The project is spearheaded by Kingsbury and Associate and Sirius Realty, both run by the Megan Kingsbury of South Dakota, a ranching family there. She told Rutgers she expects construction on the plant to begin in 2023 and take 3 years. The Biden administration and Congress scrutinized the beef industry after COVID-19 outbreaks, temporary shutdown slaughterhouses in early 2020, leaving ranchers with nowhere to deliver cattle and consumers facing meat shortages. The Big Four, Cargill, Tyson, JBS, SA, and National Beef Packing Company slaughtered about 85% of all U.S. fed cattle, according to industry data. The administration has blamed the lack of competition in the sector for rising food prices. Meat companies deny the accusation. Anyway, I got my own personal feelings about that. Everything's gone up. Meat has gone up, don't get me wrong, but it's gone up the least compared to some other stuff. And then the government, wonder who they're on, like on the baby food deal, the formula deal. That could have been so solved a long time ago, but there's only so many people that work for the federal government, and there's only so much you can do, but you guys know how it is, all the red tape crap. But Kingsbury's project would slaughter around 1,000 head more cattle per day than the current top processor, which is Tyson, that's in southeastern South Dakota. This kind of investment that industry is going to need in the company coming years, said Daryl Peel from OSU. But some industry analysts say that the plant may struggle to find labor, develop supply chain relationships from scratch, and be profitable amid tighter cattle supplies. Ranchers have reduced the size of the U.S. herd due to historical drought and low profitability, leaving fewer cattle for processors to slaughter. Kingsbury said she is confident the new plant will overcome tight cattle supplies and labor issues. The plant aims to employ 2,500 people and use advanced technology seen in Europe and Asia to process beef with less labor. We have to break the old mentality of the packing plant being a sweatshop, Kingsbury said. Anyway, that's going to be big, big time there. Huge. All right. If some of you housewives are listening, that husbands farm peanuts, this may be a way for you to get out of town for a while. So listen up. Even though it doesn't include the Oklahoma peanut growers, you can still go. The Georgia Peanut Commission and fellow members of the Southern Peanut Farmers Federation remind growers that registration is ongoing to the annual Southern Peanut Growers Conference. And basically, this is Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida, but you still can go. If you're a peanut farmer, you can still go. It is scheduled for July 21st through the 23rd. Listen, ladies, at the Edgewater Beach Resort in Panama City, Florida. Now, where else would you want to go learn about the upcoming new things coming up in peanuts? Why not? It's time to head to Panama City Beach. I've been there. Love it. Anyway, just go check it out. The three-day event is for farmers from Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and you can tell them I said Oklahoma and Texas if you want to. It would be an opportunity to provide a chance to obtain timely information about peanut-related issues. This, according to Ken Barton, executive director of the Florida Peanut Producers Association. Our general sessions are extremely important, he said. Our first one will be dealing with school nutrition and how important it is. We all know that the peanut industry, that it's extremely important to keep peanut butter on the breakfast and lunch menus of our nation's schools. We got some really good presenters in this session talking about how the industry is doing what, and what the USDA is doing to help. Our next session is dealing with something that every farmer deals with. It's called ag labor. It's getting more and more difficult to find labor in general. Not qualified labor, but just labor in general. We got a session that should be hopefully opening up with some avenues for some ideals, or at least some options for some farmers to look into. These sessions are very enjoyable, very informative. We encourage farmers to make plans to attend. I heard a story earlier last year about some peanut farmers in Beckham County going to one of these sessions. I don't know if it was here in Oklahoma. I don't want to put down any fake news, but I know it was a peanut section. I don't know if they were down south, and I just heard they got with a couple people down there, and maybe some drinks were involved. And the next day, one of the sessions was late being put on. I don't know. Just rumors that I heard. But anyway, we got some great peanut farmers around, especially around Beckham County, because I know them all. So anyway, we got some good peanut farmers. But if you want to go hang out and see what's going on down there, Panama City Beach, Florida, is in your works. For more information, you can just call me, and I'll tell you. I'll get you the information you need if your husband doesn't want to sign up for you. Anyway, so hopefully we get some more rain. I see lots of crops going in as far as like cover crops or maybe some hay crops going in. Lots of sorghums coming up. I did see down there, where was I at today? Along Elk Creek somewhere. There's some people putting in some corn right there along 152 and Elk Creek, and that corn's already way up there, so you must have got your corn in on a timely manner. I got my soil test back from where we're going to put corn in down by Granite. We're putting in the late season corn here in probably a week, 10 days. we're putting, and you ask why you put an insulate. Well, there's a trick to it. Late season corn, you don't want it, according to Kent, you don't want it tasseling too early, or don't want it tasseling in August when it's hot. You want it to tassel later. So it's usually late October, first November when they harvest that. So we're going to give that a whirl this year. Anyway, well, I hope you guys had a great weekend. I don't know what you did this weekend. It was still a little bit wet to do some farming unless you had some really sandy soil. I know one of my friends, Heath Martin, was planting him hay crop yesterday. And, man, I went to check my cattle Saturday. Friday evening. First time I've seen quail on my place in 3 years. Had a pair run out in front of me down by the pond. These rains have done wonder. And quails on, they might not be what they was back in the 80s and 90s, but hey, it can happen. Timely rains, and hopefully the hail didn't destroy much of it here north of Elk. So anyway, well, you guys have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget my Ag Update every morning on KCO on Facebook. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I actually kind of like it.
KECO, Elk City.